Luke's Gospel and chapter 15. Verse number 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And we know that God will bless his word. If you were in the children's meeting earlier, you will have known that we thought of this woman with the lost coin, 10 pieces of silver, but there was one that was lost and she rejoiced when she found it. Now, of course, just looking at this chapter of the Bible, it is well known that it is a chapter of lost things. And we have read, first of all, of the lost sheep. And then, as I said, we thought earlier of the lost coin, the lost silver. And then, in the next part of the story, we have the lost son. And as we think of them, well, it's quite interesting to compare them because they're linked. And as we think of this lost sheep, we're going to think of something that was lost and it seems that it was far away. But when we think of the lost coin, we're thinking of something that was lost just at home. Just right there in her home, she found the coin. And the Lord Jesus then brings both those thoughts together with the lost sons. And the first of his son, he's far away, he's lost. But there's another son, and he's just at home, just like that lost coin. So the Lord Jesus is teaching us very, very simple but powerful lessons. And it's just this, first of all, it doesn't matter how far away you are tonight, there's salvation for you. Or whether it is that you're just a person and as far as you're concerned, you're very upright. You're trying to do your best. You're trying to work hard. And you're trying to keep a home. And there's salvation for you. But both need the same Saviour. Because we discover from this chapter that all are lost. And were we to turn over to chapter 19, we would read these words that the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so I want to challenge you this evening, and indeed challenge us all, to locate ourselves. That's one of the great benefits of gospel meetings. It is that men and women and boys and girls might get located before God, and to realize just where you are, and to realize where you stand before God. And so I want tonight that you would concentrate on just being honest with yourself before God. Am I saved or lost? The Bible is very, very clear. There's no shades of grey. A person is either saved or lost. They are either a believer or an unbeliever. I was talking to a man today at the door. You'll forgive us sometimes for referring to who we met. My wife sometimes says, would you stop saying all the people that you met during the day? But you see, our experience of people, sometimes it might help you. And I asked him, and was he interested in coming to the meeting? He says, well, I'm a Christian, but not a very good one. And we got talking, and I asked him the question. I said, well, have you ever heard of being saved? And this is what he said. He says, well, he says, that word doesn't really sit very well with me. You see, he was quite comfortable using the term Christian. But when it came to whether he was saved, well, that just went a bit deeper. See, the problem is, of course, that today the word Christian has taken on a meaning that it didn't have when it was used at first. I tell you, you wouldn't have called yourself a Christian in the first century without good reason. Because what you were in effect doing was saying, I'm taking allegiance with Jesus Christ and not Caesar. That could have meant you're losing your head. So nobody just went about saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But the word that the Lord Jesus Christ uses so often, and I was telling this man, and he really hadn't heard that, but the Lord Jesus used this word saved. And it's a beautiful word because it really means to be rescued. There's a definite thing about it. Nobody is in any doubt whether they're saved or lost. Saved or lost. That's why I gave out that hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, says the Lord Jesus one day, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John chapter 3, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we heard the other night, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And so it's good tonight to get yourself located before God and to know that you're truly saved and on the way to heaven. Well, we want to just think for a moment of this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ told these Pharisees and scribes. These were religious people, and they used themselves quite often parables to speak to one another. So the Lord Jesus, he uses a parable. And we were taught at school that a parable, you remember, was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so there's a spiritual lesson in the parable, and we're going to see what it is. But notice that this came in response to what these men were saying about the Lord Jesus Christ. They said that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And you see, that was typical of them because they were able to see that other people were sinners. Now, that's a big thing in the gospel that we must address. Man's ability to see sinfulness in other people, and yet there seems to be a blindness in seeing sinfulness in self. But I want you to realize this evening the truth of the gospel again. It's the ABCs of the gospel. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the whole world is guilty because of one man's sin. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, except for one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not born of Adam, but born of the Virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, a real man, but sin apart. And thank God, through him, that sinless man, sins can be forgiven. And that's why it's through this man that is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So here were people that realized that there were sin in others, but the Lord Jesus was going to teach them that they were lost. Lost. Now, you can read this parable and you can think about it from the standpoint of the sheep. The sheep. And that's sometimes a good thing to do, because that's what David did. He was a shepherd, and you remember, he spoke of Psalm 23, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And what he was doing was, he was speaking as if he was a sheep, and he could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But then we can also look at this parable, and we can notice it from the standpoint of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to do a little bit of both this evening. The first thing I want to emphasize is this. It is the importance of discovering that you are lost. Lost. I just want to go back to that word again. That you are lost. And that's why the picture here is of a sheep. And it's not a new picture, because in the Old Testament, we read in Isaiah chapter 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. Now that's the idea of being lost as a sheep. You've gone astray. And how is it that the sheep has gone astray and become lost? It is because it has turned to its own way. It has gone and followed its own way. And by following its own way, it's lost and it's astray. And so it is, dear friend, in the meeting tonight. That is the reason why sinners are lost. Not only because they are born into this world with a sinful nature, but that nature, it takes you astray. There's no one, naturally speaking, has any inclination to want to go towards God. Our sinful nature takes us away from God. That is the rebellion of the human heart, because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's only one person who knows your heart, and that is God himself. And the Bible makes it very clear that we are from the womb going astray. Job says man is of but a few days and full of trouble. You see, it's not long before a child manifests the fact that there's something wrong there within it. We love to see children and boys and girls, but I want to say to you this evening that I have two children, and it wasn't long before I never needed to teach them to tell a lie. No. Have you brushed your teeth before going to bed? Yes, they're brushed. And it's strange that the toothbrush is still dry, isn't it? You see, just that nature, that natural tendency to tell what is not true. And it's there in a very young age, going astray. And therefore, we have to constantly rein them in and teach obedience. Why do we need to teach obedience? Because there's something within the heart that wants to disobey. And that's why disobedience is such a serious thing, because it was through one man's disobedience that sin came into the world. The woman was deceived, but Adam disobeyed. And therefore, disobedience is a sin against God, because it is disobedience to his word. So that's what sin is. And therefore, it's within our hearts to go astray. And as we go astray, we go the wrong way, and we're attracted to wrong company. That's another thing within the heart of the sinner. They're attracted to wrong friends and wrong company. And before you know it, you're got caught up in the wrong company, and they will take you further away from God. And therefore, I would say to you, be careful with sin. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. And there's people tonight, and they never intended to be in the place where they are. You know, I always think of that when I look even at a criminal person who has maybe committed a heinous crime. And I always think to myself that one day they were a little boy or a girl sitting on their mother's knee. You see, that's what we find in the book of Genesis. Nothing has changed. It must have been a wonderful day for Adam and Eve. Remember, they were unique. They didn't have a mother and father, or they didn't have grandparents. And what a day it was when Eve gave birth to her firstborn son, Cain. Little bundle of joy and of life as they held him. But I tell you what a shock it was when he rose up that day and killed his younger brother, Abel. And they looked at his remains, and the enormity of the sin that had entered into the world suddenly came before them. The awfulness of it. What a day that must have been as they looked at Abel and realized what God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, physical death, yes, spiritual death, but they could see the outcome of the awfulness of the sinful nature that their two children had inherited. And so it was that the first baby that ever sat upon a mother's knee was a murderer. And so the Bible is so up to date. As we look around us today and we see the awful crimes that take place, let us remember what it was from the beginning. The awfulness of sin coming into the world and how man, once they sinned, they were lost, going astray, going their own way, and going to the wrong place. You see, that's another thing about this sheep that's lost. It's in the wrong place. And it's in a place of danger. And when a person gets lost, that's why parents are so concerned. I remember, again, one of ours had a habit of, when we were out, just a phase of hiding. And, of course, it sent us into a panic. I remember one summer we were at Loch Lomond, and visiting my aunt's grave, and one of her children disappeared. And what a feeling of losing a child and being lost. Thankfully, they were found without harm. But you see, the point is this: when someone is lost, they're in a place of danger because they're out of reach of the normal support that they have and the safety. And so it is, as sinners, we're in a desperate place of danger. Really are. And do you know what really strikes worry into my soul as we travel around this world? Is that the majority of people are unaware of their danger. Unaware of their danger. Lost. Perishing. And if the pulse in their arm stopped, in a moment of time, they're in a lost eternity. Meetings just last year, Ballymoney, and you know, there was a man came in the second week at the door, said to me, enjoyed the meeting, he says, I'll be back next Thursday night. You see, by Monday, it's an eternity. You see, dear friend, we preached to enough people over the years to know that we could be preaching to people for the last time. Now, we're not here to play in your emotions, but mind you, God has given you emotions, and I would long that someone would show some emotion of some concern about their soul. And like the jailer, they might tremble, and they might realize. For we have spoken to people. I think of another lady in London, stayed behind after the meeting, interested in being saved, said, spoke to her, give her tracts, did all we could. It's a Thursday night, said we'll see her on Friday night. She wasn't at the meeting on Friday night. Wasn't at the meeting on Sunday night. I went round to her flat. Her family were there. She'd taken a stroke on the Sunday. By Monday morning, she was in eternity. You wonder why we come back to preach time and time again. Dear friend, it's this message behind and over my head. It's where you will spend eternity. And we get down on our knees to pray for you. And we put our head on the pillow at night and we wonder, where will the people of Bicester be 5 minutes after they die? Because they're lost. This town, it's lost. People perishing in their sins. And that's why we're so glad that you're at the meeting. Because there's one who's interested in you. Discovering you're lost, but I want you to notice, it's important to know that you're loved. Well, here is a shepherd. I notice where he left. He left the house. And he went out to seek for the sheep that was lost. And it's very obvious in the parable that the house is a picture of heaven. Oh, isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus left the splendors of heaven? He left heaven to come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came because he loved you. He became because he loved me. I'll never understand why. I'll never know why. But God doesn't ask me to understand it, but just accept it. You know, some people are maybe too proud to accept that God loves them. Well, I tell you tonight, I'm thankful. I'm deeply thankful that God loved me. I'm thankful tonight that I can say with the apostle, he loved me and he gave himself for me. What about you this evening? The love of God. And he sought after the sheep. Discover that you're lost, but remember this, you're loved. There's one who has come all the way. And it says that when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders rejoicing. Now that's from the standpoint of the shepherd. You know what the shepherd, notice what the shepherd did. He reaches down and he lifts up the sheep and he puts it on his shoulders. Now, I don't know a lot about sheep, but I found out this, that let me tell you, that's a big thing to carry a sheep on your shoulders. Sheep. But he doesn't. And he lifts the sheep and he does the work and he puts the sheep, and it tells us that he puts it on his shoulders, and the word really there is his own shoulders. He doesn't ask someone else to carry it, no. He comes and looks and seeks for the sheep, and he saves the sheep, and he puts it on his shoulders. Now, let me just ask you, let's look at it from the standpoint of the sheep. What did the sheep have to do? I think the youngest in the meeting could answer. All that the sheep had to do was lean upon the shepherd. The shepherd took the sheep safely home. Now listen, the gospel's not complicated. Christ has done all the work upon the cross. He's come the distance. He can go no further. He came to Calvary and he went back to heaven. Now all that he requires you to do is just to lean upon the shepherd. Just depend on him and he'll take you safely home. That's what any one of us who are saved are doing tonight. We're depending on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, he doesn't promise that the road will be smooth. I'm sure this sheep got many of a bump and a batter as the shepherd took it home. But you know, he reached home safely. That's the big thing tonight. There'll be many a difficulty in the Christian life. We know that. But there's one thing that we can depend on is this, that we'll reach heaven. We know we're loved. We're learning to lean upon the shepherd. We're trusting him. And now he says, I'm going to give you a look into heaven. There's joy in heaven. Why? Over one sinner that repented. You see, the sheep was going that way, and the shepherd has brought him back. There's a turn has taken place. You're going one direction, and you trust Christ. And he saves you and he carries you to God, to heaven, and safely home. That's the picture. You know, it was told, just as I finish, of J.M. Darby. Some of you will maybe have heard the story, but it illustrates it. He had a great love for souls, and especially those who were poor. And one night, a poor farmer came and knocked on his door. Said, Mr. Darby, could you come? I have a son who is dying. Darby went to Kerry through the mist and over the fields, arrived at the little cottage, and there's a teenager with a death rattle cough, not long to live. And Darby went over to him in the wee cottage. His mother was sitting with him. He said, son, what's wrong? He discovered that the young boy couldn't read or write. He was about to open his Bible to read to him, and he realized he couldn't read or write. And he thought, I need to find out just what this young man knows. So he said to him, he says, tell me, son, how is it that you became so sick? And with breathlessness, the young man lifted himself up on his arms, and he said, well, Mr. Darby, he said, a year ago, my father has a few sheep. He says, one of them went missing. He said, he sent me out to look for that sheep. He said, it was a snowy winter's night. He said, I searched and I searched and I searched until the morning. He says, I found the sheep that was lost. He says, I brought it home. He says, ever since then, I've had this awful chesty cough. And he said, My mother tells me that I'm not going to get better, I'm going to die. Mr. Darby couldn't believe that the young man was telling him the story, the lost sheep. How Mr. Darby then told him that just like his father sending him out for the one sheep, there was a father in heaven who sent his son to look for one sheep that was lost. And he died in the process of coming into the world to seek and to save. He told the young man of the good shepherd. Went away and came back, I think a day or two later, thinking the young man would be gone. He was still hanging on. You know, there was a change in his face. And he was able to just utter the words that he had trusted the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. What about it tonight? He's gone the distance. He loves you. He wants to save you. But will you trust him? Will you allow him to save you? If you do, he'll take you safely home to heaven and you'll be saved for all eternity. May God bless his word.